This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Investigation Discovery's new series, People Magazine Investigates Cults, explores how destructive and terrifying cults can be to cult members and their families. Each episode dives deep inside a twisted American cult, building to that pivotal moment when blind worship turns violent and even deadly, from Jonestown to the Army of God. Our guest is Alicia Dennis, People Magazine senior editor. She oversees a team of investigative reporters who delve into crime stories around the country. They doggedly investigate the evolution of these cults, expose their bizarre and brutal day-to-day rituals, and speak firsthand to survivors. The untold story of America's most notorious cults, next on This Week in America.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Doc, you gotta give it to me straight.
All right.
Because I'm dying here. I mean, take a look at this letter from the IRS.
Oh, my.
This is killing me, Doc. I tell you, it's killing me.
Cheer up, my friend.
Huh?
The tax doctor is here. My diagnosis tells me that you're going to be just fine.
Really?
The tax doctor will not rest until we find you the best possible tax settlement.
Really, Doc?
Guaranteed.
If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes, call a tax doctor right now. We could save you up to 75% if you qualify. Guaranteed or you pay nothing. Call right now for free details.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Combine People Magazine's expert investigative reporting and the unparalleled storytelling of Investigation Discovery, America's most watched true crime network, and you've got the hit new series People Magazine Investigates Cults, revealing the untold stories of America's most notorious cults, from Jonestown to the Army of God. Through the lens of People's trusted journalist, we see power-crazed cult leaders as they manipulate and dominate their followers, and we hear from survivors. Multiple award-winning journalist Alicia Dennis is People's senior editor of crime, overseeing a team of investigative reporters who delve into true crime stories around the country. Alicia is the true crime expert who led to the reinvention of People's True Crime multi-platform brand with the creation and development of content for People Magazine Investigates on Investigation Discovery. A successful editor, digital content director, producer, on-camera talent, known for her ability to develop new programs, a regular on-camera contributor for crime and entertainment topics on People TV and Time Inc.'s streaming People Now. People Magazine Investigates Cults on Investigation Discovery, Mondays 9 Eastern, 8 Central. And People's senior editor of crime, Alicia Dennis, with us on This Week in America. Alicia, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Rick. It's so good to be here.
What a series this is. And each week you take on a different cult. And some of them we're familiar with, some not so much. How did you choose the six that you focus on?
We wanted to be able to show a lot of different types of cults, different types of people and beliefs and ways that they joined. And so as we looked into these, we also wanted to see cults that had a criminal element involved, so that we were able to very clearly say this was a cult or this is a cult. So we selected ones where the leadership was involved in criminal activity, and hopefully we can take our viewers not only on this journey of how people escaped and survived, but also how a lot of these leaders were brought to justice.
You know, it's interesting. You and the unit have a different perspective on this. You really are on the front lines. You bring us untold stories. And in many times, the first time we can remember hearing from survivors. It gives us a whole new perspective, doesn't it?
It really, really does. And we have a story in this week's issue of People that is focusing on a Jonestown survivor. She is somebody who you're going to see in the show on Monday, too. Her name is Tracy Parks, and she was a little girl when her family joined the cult. So you've got this perspective of someone who didn't make this choice. She was just part of a family who had made that choice for her. And she shares what it was like to look around her as a little girl and see the craziness that was occurring within this group, and her asking herself the question, how do the adults around me not see that this is wrong? How do they not see that this is evil? And she was forced to work in the fields in Jonestown. She spent a lot of time listening to Jim Jones preach, and then managed to get into the jungle where she lived for 3 days, escaping along with her sister. And it's a fascinating story to really hear from her perspective. Her father also survived, and he's living with a lot of the guilt that he feels for getting his family involved in the first place. But we're able to see really exactly what occurred from the beginning of this cult forming all the way till its tragic end, where over 900 people committed mass suicide. Over 300 of them were children whose parents, you know, administered cyanide to them at the behest of Jim Jones. And it's really such a shocking story, but I think people are going to be surprised by the new tales that we're telling in it.
What's interesting, we all think we remember Jonestown, and when you start thinking, looking at some clips from the program, it's like, boy, I really don't quite recall that. This was totally shocking. You mentioned over 900 deaths. A third of those were minors. It's interesting. They refer to it as a mass suicide. I've heard some people talk to it, a couple survivors, as mass murders.
You know, that's a really good point, Rick, because that's the way that Tracy Parks, the survivor that we've talked to, feels about it. That's the way she looks at it.
Yes.
She says, you know, a lot of these people didn't want to die. This was murder. This was murder that Jim Jones perpetrated by creating this mind control over all of these people, and certainly the children involved didn't want to die. And so she sees it as a murder as well.
And Jones referred to it as revolutionary suicide. And what's interesting with him is if you go back, and I think the movement started like in the mid-1950s in Indiana, there was one point when he was what reasonably accepted. He was meeting with politicians.
That's true. He was seen as somebody who was very progressive. He had an eclectic teaching that combined socialist politics and racial equality. And a lot of people embraced that because it wasn't happening in other congregations where there was, this, what he was preaching to be, you know, love and acceptance and all these different groups being together. So he was seen initially as somebody who was really doing positive things civically and really changing communities for the better.
Is this something you see in the cults that we will see in the series Investigation Discovery's new series, People Magazine Investigates Cults, something that we see sort of an evolution in these cults when it goes from something that maybe is acceptable, maybe there's some rational purposes for this, where suddenly that blind trust turns into something that's very dark, violent, and ugly?
Yes, that happens very consistently in these groups. Particularly, there's an upcoming episode that you're going to see about a group, Yahweh, led by Yahweh Ben Yahweh. And it was a similar situation to Jones in that this leader had been given, you know, even a key to the city. He was helping create programs for people that were impoverished. He was helping clean up neighborhoods and give kids places to be that were not not focused on any kind of drugs or anything like that. And before you know it, all these people who are part of his group that think they're doing these good things in the community fall under his spell that gets darker and darker, where some of his henchmen actually are going out and committing murder at his behest. And so you're exactly right. There's a lot. People don't join organizations that are dark on their face. They join organizations that seem to be doing good. And then once they're so far in, once the bad things start happening, a lot of times they can't recognize it.
And I assume that's the way with the leaders. I said in the beginning, power-crazed cult leaders. Do many of them start off that way? Or again, is this something where they sort of evolve and something clicks in them and they become these manipulative, dominating people that that really forget the religious aspect of what they're doing?
That is such an interesting question, because we're seeing a combination of both of those things, I think.
Yes.
Nobody's going to join a group if the leader is power hungry from the outset. And so a lot of times there's this manipulation of people where they're showing a lot of love and a lot of care and a lot of supporting that person and telling that person, you know, we're here for you to help make your dreams come true, to help make your life better, to help you get closer to God. And we see in the cases that we've investigated, these leaders becoming more and more and more drunk on the power that they get from having more and more followers. And also the money's involved, where they've a lot of times taken all the money away from their followers. And there's some deviancy that happens where it's almost as if they're testing how far they can control people, how far can they make their followers go. And it's really, I wonder if some of them start out from that dark place and they just mask it to their followers really well for a long time, or there's actually some good person that turns really evil by having all of that power.
I guess when you're worshipped by so many, eventually for some of these people, they can't handle that. We're talking about Investigation Discovery's new series, People Magazine Investigates Cults, Mondays 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Alicia Dennis, People Magazine senior editor, with us on the program to talk about that. What's interesting, if you mention cult leaders to most people, they would think men. You've got some women that you focus on, one upcoming in Word of Life. Talk about that, because women have become cult leaders as well.
Yeah, I think that that's an interesting aspect that people aren't as aware of, because, like you say, a lot of times you look at these charismatic, manipulative leaders being men. But in the Word of Life cult, we had, you know, it was initially launched by a man, but he then handed the power and control over to his daughter, who ended up ruling that group in a much more deviant and awful way than her father had ever considered. She managed to have such control over her followers that people were actually attacking and beating their own children because of things that she made them believe and she told them were true. We also have another organization, the Army of God, which at its forefront had a charismatic female leader too. So I think that people will be surprised to see the different dynamics that are going on in these organizations.
You had a chance to investigate cults. Again, if you talk to most people, they would go past tense. That's the thing of the past. We're on to them now. People know what to look for. That doesn't happen anymore. How prevalent are cults in 2018?
They're more prevalent than people would expect, I think. Some of the ones that we investigated for our show are ones that the people that we talked to that had gotten out still have loved ones that are in the organization that they're disconnected from now and that they miss and that they long for. So some of these are ones that are still going on today, and we continue to look into organizations and groups that are operating now, and I think we would have enough for another season if we decide to do one, because people would be surprised as to how many that there are.
You know, and it's educated people, as I'm watching the clips and watching the first episode, these are not like lonely people. Well, they probably are to some extent lonely, but people that are uneducated, that are just looking for somebody to lead them. These are, many of them are educated people, aren't they?
They really are. And a lot of times, you know, you'll sit back and go, well, I would never be so led astray that I would think that, or I would never be part of a group that would do something like that. Of course, I'd be able to recognize a cult, and I would never be part of it. And we have interviewed these people, educated, smart, a lot of them very successful. They were able to run their own, you know, very profitable businesses, and they saw something in one of these groups that they connected with and thought was positive and beneficial, gave over all of their riches and all of, you know, all of the money that they had, the possessions that they had, to this organization because they believed in the good that they thought it was doing. And it's not until, you know, years later that and awful things are happening around them, that we've talked to some of them where they had that moment where they realized, oh my gosh, I'm in a cult. I had no idea, but I am. And it's this moment of revelation that takes a long time to happen because they have been so brainwashed up until that point.
Couple minutes left in the program. It's interesting, a fascinating aspect of People Magazine Investigates Cults is talking to survivors. And you wonder as you're listening to them, is their life ever the same? Is this something you can go through deprogramming and get back in society and block that from your mind? I would think this is something that literally stays with you for the rest of your life.
It does. It really does. And the ones that we've talked to, they'll have moments where they'll have triggers. Something will happen in their life where they'll hear a song or they'll smell a food or something will happen. Well, it will take them right back to the darkness that they survived and got out of. So, yeah, they've rebuilt their lives and they, I think, have an ownership over their life that is very expansive now that they've been able to reclaim it. But at the same time, they're still haunted, I think, a lot by the nightmare of what they went through.
You've got extensive experience dealing with true crime, as members of the unit do as well. Do you ever just walk away from a story and totally forget about it? Or are there aspects of this that will shock even you with all you've seen and will stay with you?
I think because we're all journalists and storytellers trying to tell, you know, the stories, these heart-wrenching stories of people that have survived these things, that there's parts of it that's going to stay with us always. You know, there's that connection,
yes,
that we have and this way to tell their story that we're always going to remember. And I think that that's a good thing because it gives us that ability to be able to express to the rest of the world the emotions that these people went through.
And as a viewer, I think we go through the same thing. It's pretty hard to turn off the television or change the channel and not have these images in your mind and be thinking about these. Investigation Discovery's new series, People Magazine Investigates Cults, Mondays, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Alicia Dennis, People Magazine senior editor, back with us on This Week in America. Alicia, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be watching every Monday night on Investigation Discovery's.
I appreciate it, Rick. Thanks again.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Doc, you gotta give it to me straight.
All right.
Because I'm dying here. I mean, take a look at this letter from the IRS.
Oh, my.
This is killing me, Doc. I tell you, it's killing me.
Cheer up, my friend.
Huh?
The tax doctor is here. My diagnosis tells me that you're going to be just fine.
Really?
The tax doctor will not rest until we find you the best possible tax settlement.
Really, Doc?
Guaranteed.
If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes, call a tax doctor right now. We could save you up to 75% if you qualify. Guaranteed or you pay nothing. Call right now for free details.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. That's 800-430-9605.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Rolling Stone calls Condor one of the best TV shows to watch this June. The AT&T Audience Network new conspiracy thriller based on the popular novel 6 Days of the Condor and the screenplay 3 Days of the Condor, of course the hit movie starring Robert Redford, and playing the role made famous by Redford is Max Irons, born in Camden, London, England, known for his roles in Red Riding Hood, The Host, the miniseries The White Queen, playing the lead role of Edward IV of England, a hit weekly series on BBC One, also the miniseries The Runaway, as well as roles in Dorian Gray, Crooked House, The Riot Club, and others, a successful model named by GQ to its 2015 list of best-dressed British men, and now is Joe Turner, a young CIA analyst, stumbles onto a terrible but brilliant plan that threatens lives of millions. In AT&T Audience Network's much-anticipated series Condor, and Max Irons with us on This Week in America. Max, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. That was a comprehensive introduction. Thank you very much for that.
Just touch the surface. You have so many, such a young career and so many impressive performances. In fact, a lot last year and heading into this year with this major project. Now, I understand you saw the 1975 political thriller, understood its cult status, and then later your approach for a role in the new project, not just a role, but the Redford role. What were your initial thoughts when they came to you with this project?
Wow, well, yeah, you're right. I had seen the film, but I'd seen it at an age where I didn't quite understand the political significance of it. So I went back and I watched it again, and then I started work on the script. And when I started work on the script, what became clear was the quality of the writing and the complexity of the writing. Often, from my experience, shows like this, they may dress it up and try to make it seem more complex, but ultimately what you're presented with is a villain and a good guy, and they face off over the course of however many episodes, and ultimately the good guy prevails, and that's the TV show. Whereas this one, I think, is very different. Our writers, Jason Smilovich and Todd Katzberg, they made a deliberate effort to present an unbiased, complex view of the geopolitical situation we in America and in Western Europe find ourselves in, and they do it without judgment or pointing fingers, which frankly is refreshing.
Yes.
Also, what I liked about it is that it poses questions to the audience. You know, we all of us, we have a set of principles which we believe are rock solid, you know, I won't kill, I don't stand for vigilante justice. You know, there are lines in the sand that we won't cross, but for the most part, those principles are formed in a setting, a relaxed, luxurious setting of a classroom or sitting around a dinner table having a debate.
Exactly, yes.
Those principles are rarely tested. So what you see in Joe Turner is a very principled, idealistic young man who suddenly finds himself way out of its depths, having to question his rock-solid ideals and principles. And I think that, in turn, makes the audience do the same, which I think is unique and interesting.
Let's talk about your character, Joe Turner, described as an idealistic millennial. Talk about that, because his role with the CIA, he was conflicted about that. And then suddenly, like you said, he finds himself in the middle of the situation where he's facing all of these real-life moral dilemmas. Not in the classroom. These are real-life, life-and-death situations.
Yeah, I guess the use of the word millennial is slightly... I've never quite understood the definition of the word millennial. But yeah, you know, Joe, when... And you see this later on in the show. He expresses himself pretty clearly. I don't want to give anything away, but safe to say that he had a pretty basic understanding of what the CIA have done ever since their involvement in China way back in the early part of the 20th century. And he knows that a lot of what they got up to actually wasn't for the greater good, and it came at the cost of many innocent lives, and questioned whether or not there was a better way. And again, like a lot of young people, we recognize that there are systemic, deep-rooted problems in some of our governmental bodies that are acting on our behalf. But also, like a lot of young people, he didn't necessarily know the best way to go about remedying those problems. And then someone, in this case William Hurt's character, tells him that the best way to do it is to go to within the organization in question and try and make a meaningful difference from within, which is what he does. But I think that's a problem that many millennials have, is that they feel that certain aspects of our society are unjust, and certain things we do abroad are warrantless, and don't quite know how to push back against it.
Jeremy Irons' son, Max Irons, with us on the program. There, you are the son of two acclaimed actors, actresses, and they said in the beginning, be careful because you're going to have days when you're going to have highs and lows. This has to be a high for you, a role in something like Condor.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a television show of this quality surrounded by actors, we have William Hurt, we have Mira Sorvino, Bob Balaban, Brendan Fraser delivering a terrifyingly fierce and unpredictable performance, not to mention many, many others. It's unquestionably a high point in my career. But yeah, that was something they reminded me of, is that, you know, for better or for worse, when I grew up, I saw my parents go from success to success, and it's easy as a young kid to think that's the way it'll be, that's the way it is, where of course most people know and understand that being an actor is a very, very difficult occupation, and if you look at the numbers, it's very hard to succeed, and if you do succeed, achieving longevity is even harder. So I think they reminded me of that fact and said that it's not an easy road. Then I went to drama school, and I think I went about pursuing it the right way. And I think once they saw that, they sort of eased off the pressure and let me go about it.
Max Irons, our guest on the program, starring in the new conspiracy thriller Condor, based, of course, on the popular novel, on AT&T Audience Network, available on DirecTV Channel 239, Uverse TV Channel 1114, live streaming on the DirecTV and Uverse apps and DirecTV Now. Max, great having you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thanks a million.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.